views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Monday, the 8th of September, 2025, and you are on the clock with Aaron Green. Good yawning this morning. The children are back to school. Traffic has changed. The flow of traffic has changed significantly. Your driving behavior has not changed. However, we're going to talk about that in a little bit. I had a full week yesterday, and I didn't get to talk about a lot of the things that I wanted to talk about. The U.S. Haitian immigrant visa policy announcement and the government's response to it. The jitney drivers. I still stunned. Verklempt, is that a good word, about the statements emanating from the conversation last week. I still stuck on, we have never failed this country. I just stuck on that, so I want to talk about that a bit. The papers are filled with stories. Parents hit out at school. Neglect. I guess a follow-up on some of the things we discussed with Belinda Wilson on Friday afternoon. I want to thank Ms. Wilson for taking time out to delve into some of those issues. After the show, a couple of people told me, you weren't hard enough. You weren't hard enough on Ms. Wilson or the teachers. And I guess there were a number of questions that I could have asked. I didn't want to create a combative atmosphere. It was really interrogative, right, to get a sense of what is happening in the education space at the start of the school year from key stakeholders. But I got the same questions for teachers for the academic space as I do for the Royal Bahamas Police Force. When it comes to the question of introducing non-lethal and less than lethal tools or weapons into the police force toolkit, right, into their resources. A question I have on the table is, would returning to or enhancing physical criteria, like physical standards, for police officers reduce the reliance on lethal weapons, right? Do we need to return to a Chuck Norris kind of policing? Do we want Chuck Norris policing, or do we want RoboCop policing? That's a question there. And so someone over the weekend said, come on, man, you don't think if we had a healthier slate of teachers that we would get better production in the classroom? After listening to Miss Belinda Wilson, I think that it's not fair to say that the teachers are the problem, right? Obviously, the teachers are part of the solution. Without a doubt, we need them. And we need them to constantly be improving. But I don't think it's fair to say that the teachers are the problem. In studio with me right now is Mr. Newry. Good morning, Mr. Newry.
Good morning, Ms. Green. How are you doing today?
I'm good, thank you. I wanted to talk about this Barnett Ellis Miller discourse that is happening all over the place. Before we get there, I see this green light flashing on my phone. I'm going to take this green light, and so we can talk about Ellis and Miller, the U.S. visa policy and the government's response to it, and I think some of what's in the headlines. Good morning, caller.
Hey, morning, Ms. Green, and your guest. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
Hey, a quick question, right?
Mm-hmm.
You ever had anxiety and depression at the same time?
On the road, yeah.
That's what I had this morning. On the traffic, on the highway coming from the airport.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was crazy.
Yeah.
I think the police made the situation even worse, though. Because what happened is, when you're going around Gladstone Road, right, they had the road block up to allow the people from Gladstone Road coming down, right? And had traffic line up from here for about a mile away on that airport road.
A mile second, back.
Yeah, I tell you, the traffic man is horrible.
Okay.
Really, it was that bad.
So watch this.
Second thing, Uncle Man.
Hold on. Mm-hmm. Let's don't go far from there. So we've determined that that roundabout from Gladstone over to Bahama Boulevard, right? JFK cuts through it east to west. We've determined that it appears that roundabout has been constructed in a way that intentionally slows down traffic flowing north on Gladstone Road, right? Trying to enter the roundabout. It should be obvious, even if it was not intentional, right? That the design of that roundabout significantly frustrates or delays the flow of traffic heading north on Gladstone Road. The same thing with Milo Butler roundabout, right? There's something going on there where the flow off of, heading north off of Milo Butler, the flow heading north off of Gladstone Road, like there's something wrong there. That roundabout needs to be redesigned, the both of them. So that's one point. The second point is, right, like if the police are going to use, if we're going to use officers, right, to quote unquote moderate the flow of traffic, then they need some actual tools, right? Like they need drones so that they can see how their action is impacting the traffic so they know when to let it flow. Or they need to have outriders, officers on motorbikes that are going up and down, right? JFK, and relaying to the officer who's given the directions, you know, what the flow is, which side you need to open up now. So it is not necessarily a bad thing, but it's not the best solution for a problem that we know exists, right? And it's creating problems in other places. But there's something wrong with the JFK Gladstone Road, Bahama Boulevard roundabout, and there's something wrong with the Milo Butler, Tawny Darling roundabouts. They need, Ministry of Works needs to come in and redesign those.
Whoever designed that need to go in the bush and pick a tamarind switch. That's what they need to do.
Well, listen, I like the, what do you call it, when you allude to sort of plantation style punitive action, right? Because it can appear as if you, this is like a plantation style design. Anyway, thank you. You had another point. Let me go quickly.
Why people get offended at what Leslie Miller says? Think about it. What you think Leslie Miller can say? Has Leslie Miller said anything less offensive in the last 30 plus years?
Okay, so
think about it.
I'm not surprised.
I'm surprised. People are surprised.
Okay, here's what it is. I'm offended that he's been able to maintain such a large space in the public domain and the public consciousness, but put that aside, because that ain't my decision, right? He could speak, he could do what he wants. My concern is that we don't have more people responding to it, right? See, let's not censor people. Right. Let's not label people as rejects and totally repugnant and exile them. People are going to say things we don't like, but where's the response? Where are the voices to balance that? Right? Where are the other voices? Where are the other senior man them who have daughters who are professional women? Why aren't those senior man them coming out and talking to their peer and saying, bro, first of all, because the first thing I would say is, you know you all, right? You know we all, right? The first thing I'd say, you know we all, right? Help him establish a little spatial awareness. Again, people will speak, you don't like it, but where are the other voices to balance the conversation?
You're talking about the same individual who went inside a woman's house and take the toilet bowl back.
That's an allegation.
We expect him to say anything different?
That's what I'm saying.
I might blame people for even getting offended or whatever he says.
No, man, you could get offended. I don't have a problem with that. The problem is, why isn't society responding appropriately to statements like that? So that's what the problem is. That's
you
all.
Realize we have a better chance of having a female prime minister than a white prime minister?
No, we don't. I'd like to thank you. No, but thank you for putting it on the table. And I got a whole show for tomorrow. So good morning, Ms. Green and Mr. Nuri. Why do we need a response regarding Haitians coming here for a U.S. visa? To enter the Bahamas, Haitians need a Bahamian visa so our immigration officials are able to monitor who coming into the country. Okay. Yeah. I mean, first of all, you need a response. You respond. I don't know what the response is that we gave. My question would be, why do we need to give this response? Right, like, why is this what we said? I'll read it. So we're going to delve into that story, and then I'm going to get back into traffic and the jitneys, right? Press statement from the Office of the Prime Minister on U.S. visa announcement from OPM, posted in the press room on the OPM website, 4th of September 25. In June of this year, the United States issued a policy fully restricting and limiting the entry of Haitian nationals to the United States. In light of that policy, today's announcement that immigrant visa applications by Haitians to the United States can only be processed at the U.S. Embassy in Nassau will result in no additional entries to the Bahamas for the purpose of U.S. visa applications. Because U.S. policy fully restricts entry to their country by Haitian nationals, we will not grant entry to the Bahamas for the purpose of applying for a U.S. visa. That is the statement that was posted, Office of the Prime Minister, 4th of September. I have lots of questions. However, let me share with you some of the headlines emanating since the 4th. Government bars Haitians seeking U.S. visas. That's the 5th of September. No entry to Haitians coming for U.S. visa. Nassau Tribune, 5th of September. Okay, so here's the questions I have. Again, what is the statement about? Was the statement even necessary? Why the statement? Is the statement another political statement? Should this statement have emanated from the office of the prime minister? Now, mind you, if you read no entry to Haitians coming for U.S. visas or government bars Haitians seeking U.S. visas, you'll see that the prime minister actually has responded in this conversation, right? And prime minister noted, right? There we go. In Exuma, Prime Minister Davis reinforced the government's position, saying the Bahamas will not be, quote, used, close quotes, for visa processing, quote, we are not going to be just used for the purposes of allowing, dot, 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 because what happens if someone comes here and that visa is denied, question mark, close quotations, he said, quote, there's no need to come to the Bahamas, visas. There's no need to come to the Bahamas. Visas, you can go online and apply, and if you meet the criteria, it can be done, close quotes. So the prime minister said that. The OPM statement said what it said. I still am not sure why anybody said anything. That's why I was glad to wait until Monday to talk about it.
The response of the prime minister, the response of the office of the prime minister, shows why the Ministry of Foreign Affairs should have been the one to respond.
Yeah.
Clearly, the Prime Minister, unfortunately, nor the officials at the Office of the Prime Minister understands what is happening.
Yeah.
They spoke without any research. They spoke without appreciating what the U.S. is saying, mm-hmm. and appreciating the interaction of the Bahamas or where we stand at the border. The transition from the border to the U.S. embassy clearly didn't get a grasp or understanding of what is happening. It's very unfortunate. It shows there's a disconnect, and these officials need to be educated on the process.
All right. See, because for me, when the statement says the policy, the announcement, that immigrant visa applications by Haitians to the United States can only be processed at the U.S. embassy in Nassau will result in no additional entries to the Bahamas for the purpose of U.S. visa applications because U.S. policy fully restricts entry to their country by Haitian nationals. We will not grant entry to the Bahamas for the purpose of applying for a U.S. visa. But in the statement, the U.S. indicate, or I infer from their statement, that November 1st, they will lift the ban on entry. Or at least they will lift the ban on processing visas. And so if the U.S. is lifting the ban, then we're going to facilitate that, right?
Yes. But I even add this into the conversation.
Yeah.
Right? There are different types of visas. There is existing a ban on Haitian nationals getting visas, the entry into the United States. However, the United States are currently allowing certain
exemptions,
certain Haitians to get a visa. And those persons need to transverse through the Bahamas, stop at the U.S. Embassy to do it.
So we talk.
So it's an absolute thing. And then the people who speak and should have known that. That's why I'm saying that if this came from Foreign Affairs, they would have been quite aware who the United States is speaking about. But clearly, the Office of the Prime Minister wasn't aware. And our Prime Minister, and I'm not saying that it's a bad thing, right? That's because we have specialists who are trained to be aware of what is being spoken about at this particular time.
And who understand how to respond to a diplomatic statement.
Yes.
Right? The response does not seem to be a diplomatic response, right? In particular, my thing is, don't play games with me, right? Don't say, well, the U.S. ain't letting them in, so why would we let them in, when what's implied in the U.S. statement is that we will begin letting them in shortly.
Yes.
Right? Am I to expect on October 31st a statement from the Bahamian government saying, oh, yeah, the U.S. say they're letting Haitians in now, so expect to see a lot of hate.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
apparently that's what we should be expecting.
Right. So we're going to rest on that the statement emanated from the incorrect space. It should have been produced by the Ministry of Foreign Affairs.
But we've had this discussion on your show before. Regarding the Office of the Prime Minister responding to a news article without going to the diplomatic...
Following the proper channels. So that's one.
Yes.
But the second thing is that I've discussed on the show is an increase in statements emanating from the press room or the
Office of the Prime Minister.
Of the Office of the Prime Minister that appear to be party statements. That sound like they should have been issued by the chairman of the party that holds the government and not the government itself.
As if they're losing focus on their position.
Yeah.
Like, you're speaking on behalf of the government, not on behalf of the party.
The politicians.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's go to the phone line quickly. Good morning, caller.
Yeah, morning, Ms. Grant.
Morning.
Yeah, morning to
what's his name? So, Mr. Newman.
Why do you have to use the embassy, what they got have over there?
Oh, because of the extreme conflict that's taking place over there.
I hear you too good, but anyhow.
Because it's like warlike conditions.
And I think they should use that. See, you let these people come in here, and then we don't have a problem with them in here. That could open up another set of floodgates. So I can end with just open up the embassy or find somewhere, or we could do it over in Haiti. Thank you.
All right. Okay, so I appreciate the caller's point. Like, if and I'm gonna expound on it, if the entire Haitian nation is not under the conflict, right, that they experience in Port-au-Prince that restricts their ability to do the diplomatic process, and why can't we do it? Other people have raised other jurisdictions, right? Why not the Dominican Republic? I wouldn't ask Haitians to go to the Dominican Republic right now. I don't know what y'all be thinking. I mean, sometimes I do. I don't like to say it out loud because God's listening, right? But people have also suggested, why not Jamaica? Why not Puerto Rico? Puerto Rico is an American territory, right? Why aren't there larger jurisdictions that could handle the number of people, right? You think about proximity to the U.S. for us, right? That may be a benefit. But here's what's concerning for me, and I could understand why Bahamians may be concerned,
yeah,
right?
Bahamians should be concerned. I'm not saying they shouldn't.
Mm-hmm. When the prime minister says, because what happens if someone comes here and that visa is denied, ? That concerns me. Because, I mean, prime minister, why are you even asking that question? If somebody's visa is denied, then they will return to Haiti. Mm-hmm. Right? That's the answer. Now, what's unspoken is, we're not very good at our job. We don't actually have systems in place or protocols to ensure that people whose visas are denied return to Haiti.
Actually, Tari, this discussion in terms of systems in place has been asked about the increase of Haitians coming in through as tourists.
Mm-hmm.
And it was responded that we do have the checks and balances to police anyone who come in from Haiti to the Bahamas.
Why they didn't tell the Prime Minister?
See, that's my point.
Why me?
Because we've been discussing the increase of the tourists, Haitian tourists, for a while. And they said, no, man, we are proficient.
See, because if the minister responsible for toting water, if the minister responsible for agriculture said, well, how y'all going to ensure? I would say, boy, your cabinet meetings aren't as good as they should be. But I would get past it. But when a prime minister says something like this out loud, what's happening here? You mean all the other people coming in, you didn't know that there's a protocol? Like, we don't track people like the same way the U.S. does it. Oh, look at this person. They were supposed to leave yesterday. They didn't come through the airport. Perhaps we need to go to the hotel and figure out if they're still there. What's happening? We need to track this person. Like, what are we doing? Anyway, I had a lot more questions. Like, here's another one. Is this a temporary special measure? Now, I didn't read through the entire statement, the entire section in the U.S. Website, right? But is this a temporary special measure in the sense that we don't expect Haiti to be in this type of conflict forever? We have a 3-year timeline, mm-hmm. right, before we establish a different protocol that doesn't bear unduly on the Bahamas.
Just inquiry. Don't we have an embassy in Haiti?
Yeah.
Is it closed?
I remember them.
Where is the visa coming from? I mean, see, I'm saying if the U.S. closed their visa, and you remind me of why the U.S. closed their visa.
Because they have warlike and conflict environment in Port-au-Prince.
Now, I have to ask you about our visa in this warlike environment. Like, who taking care of Bahamians' interests? Why isn't the conversation switched to our interests? Instead of this immigration, our fear-mongering right. interest.
But not just that. If the U.S. is unable to process these diplomatic or consular things, matters in Haiti, well, what about the Bahamian embassy? Have they been returned? How are Bahamian visas in Haiti being processed? Right? Why haven't, like you said, well, for me, you didn't say it. I said it. Why haven't we seen a statement from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs
yes.
clearly explaining this, right? Like, this is how a Haitian migrant wanting to apply for a U.S. visa in Nassau would have to, this is how they would get a Bahamian visa for that process, right? Like, and that would make people feel more comfortable knowing that, listen, before they can come here to apply for a U.S. visa, they have to get a Bahamian visa. And they have to indicate on the Bahamian visa why they come in here. And they have to indicate when they're expected to leave.
Yes. And then you're denied or accepted.
Right. And I imagine that for security purposes, the U.S. government will share with the Bahamian government as soon as possible the names of those who have been denied so as to ensure that they're being tracked to ensure that they leave the country when necessary.
Mm.
Let's go to the phone line. Oh,
No, it's the thing. But I still want to know where they're getting the Bahamian visas from. Are they coming to the Bahamas and apply for the Bahamian visas? Which I know they're not. Or are they in Haiti applying for the Bahamian visas and our government is issuing out these Bahamian visas there?
Well, interesting. And if so, why can't the U.S. do it? Are the security concerns for each embassy or consular space different? Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. One more time. Producer, you had a caller? Good morning.
We give them 3 years.
Okay.
You know the amount of foolishness, the amount of people who will come up with ideas to slip through? And next thing.
Hold on.
Caller.
We missed the first 7 seconds of what you were saying.
Oh.
So you were saying give them visas for 3 years?
No, he said you could imagine if you say in 3 years to America, they just give 3 years until we get them sorted out.
Mm-hmm.
How many people have come through using that scheme to get here and do foolishness? Next thing, be so close to America, why they just don't fly to America and America give them a week to get straight? Once you apply, you got a week for your answer. Why stop him? And you're that close to America, you can fly straight by the flight straight to America.
Well, we know that to get a visa.
We shouldn't go there and process the visa there.
But we know that right now the policy is you have to have an in-person interview. We know that that's what it is. So you have to fly here in order to get an in-person interview.
America could do whatever they want to do.
That's what
they're ready.
You are right. That's why they have it here.
So let them fly straight.
No, you just said with America to do whatever they want, and you are right.
I'm not going to come here. What you coming here for me? They don't give American visas. Only America can give American visas.
But I just...
Go straight to America.
I agree with you. American could do...
What would you stopping here for?
I just agree with you. Like you said, America could do whatever they want.
That's my point. That's my 5 cents.
I get you. Thank you very much, caller. Thank you very much. Let's go to the text line. Good morning. Persons have been coming to the Bahamas for U.S. visas from other countries for years. This is nothing new. In fact, I got a little bit of data on that. Great show as usual. When the president changes, the policy will also change. I don't even think we're waiting for the president to change, right? These guys said the policy can change on November 1st. It's in the policy, right? Here's another text. Not to mention the quality of communication now coming out of the OPM. It's as if an apprentice is now writing these releases. Mm-hmm. You hear that silence, Mr. Newry?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Aaron, I honestly don't see anything wrong with what Mr. Leslie Miller said, and I don't remember Ms. Barnett Ellis being vocal or commenting when Mr. Pintard was called a water boy. This is simply the nature of politics in general, and if she doesn't understand this, she's indeed showing her immaturity. Okay, we're going to hold that text. Another text says, I think the U.S. knows exactly what they're doing. They're trying to filter intended migration of these Haitians to the U.S. They know that in an effort to obtain a visa, Haitians may travel here and possibly stay here instead of going to the U.S. No, they don't do it like that. Here's another text. Since I've been born 45 years ago, Haiti has been another hell. So I don't know when you think this is going to end. We're talking about the visa policy. That's it. We're talking about the policy, right? The U.S. has a policy that you have to have an in-person interview for a visa. The U.S. says the state of Haiti, and Port-au-Prince in particular right now, renders them unable to process visas in Haiti. They've designated the U.S. Embassy Nassau location as the location for that. I asked, is that a temporary measure? How long did the U.S. government intimate to the Bahamian government or the Ministry of Foreign Affairs how long that policy would be in place? How long Nassau would be used? Are they seeking an alternative? Are they developing a facility in Puerto Rico, right? Are they developing a facility in Jamaica to process these people? That's the temporary part. Or we know the occupation of Haiti is ongoing for over 200 years now.
I just want to remind people that, because you mentioned the November 1st date, that on November 1st, they will begin processing visas again. Right?
Yeah.
Because at this present time, they're not processing any type of visas from Haiti. You can't even come there now. If say you're Haitian and you want to apply, it doesn't exist. The fair is no need. There's no need for fair because the process doesn't exist until right. November 1st.
Yeah.
But then we have fair monger and all the same.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's problematic. So Texas says, but let 2 million of them come here, destroy our country the way they destroyed their own. And let's pack our bags and go there because we don't want to address the elephant in the room. Texter, I think your text is the elephant in the room. Say what? Okay. You use the word fear-mongering, right? There are opinions and then there are informed opinions. Informed opinions that have truth in them, they weigh more than opinions, okay? But thank you for sharing your opinion. There's another text, and wow. Oh, wow. This is another one, Mr. Newry. Producer, let's prep that caller. And news has jokes say 80 homes to be demolished, but immigration only picked up 3 people. Now I can do math. So each home has 3 people times 80 homes. That's 240 people. And y'all caught a whole 3. Great job, immigration. Awesome job.
We can talk about that, no. We now realizing that there are a number of people who live inside these unregulated homes are either have Bahamian citizenship, have Bahamian work permits,
status, whatever,
or some type of status. That might be problematic. We may have to rectify that. But that is the reason why we find three people.
What we realize is that we have a housing crisis that is exacerbating a shanty town, right? A migration crisis in a shanty town crisis. There are Bahamians living in unregulated communities. There are employees with status and the right to work in the Bahamas that are living in these unregulated communities. There we go. Callers, sorry, I missed you.
Could we call back?
So please call back. When I went to Canada, they had to send my stuff to Jamaica. So if you want to go to Japan, producer, let's prep the call. If you want to go to Japan and Canada, you process through Jamaica. If you want to go to the Middle Eastern countries, you process through Havana, New York, or Washington, D.C. If you want to go to Argentina, you process through Miami. We all hear the music, callers. We're going to a break. If you could stay on the line, please do. If not, call right back after the break.
Right, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bark down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you on?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
Alright, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody call me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and they can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
New school year, new gear. From uniforms to laptops, a Fidelity personal loan can help you check every item off of your kids' school list. Jump into back-to-school season with ease. Apply for a Fidelity personal loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
When it comes to hearts at Cleveland Clinic, you can't miss a beat. You seek the best care possible. Work with the brightest minds. And leave no stone unturned to get to the heart of the matter. Because understanding is always the first step to overcoming. For every heart in the world, see how we're advancing the future of heart care at Cleveland Clinic today.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on guardiantalkradio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.
Welcome back to On the Clock with Aaron Green, Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. We're going to run through a couple more texts before we transition. Here's a text. Good morning. The problem with the announcement and response on the Haitians coming here to apply for U.S. visas is that the Bahamian government needs to come to the Bahamian people and let us know what policy is in place regarding Haitian migration to the Bahamas. We know that something is going on, but we are left to speculate because we see the numbers at the airport and on the job sites. Listen. Mr. Mitchell, PLP chairman, has told y'all multiple times, not only do we need to increase the labor pool, and I will insert what is implied to be able to realize the significant amount of foreign direct investment that's on the table, but we need to expand our tax base, right, which is also our voter base, and expand our gene pool, right? So when you demand a statement from the government, ensure, make sure you use their words, right? Use their words and ask them to clarify what is meant by this. It's so very, very important. Like you say, something's happening. And in fact, Mr. Nuri, this morning I saw a stat that I have to find so I could repeat it, right? But of the foreign direct investment coming into the region, the Bahamas is seizing a significant percentage of that, right? And so for us to be able to do that, though, we have to be able to achieve, to complete the projects a significantly a rapid timeline, right? We don't have enough local labor to realize $10 billion worth of investment while it's on the table. That's a given. And then even with the skilled labor that we have, you know, Bahamians get skilled so they don't have to work for anybody, so that they can maintain their own timeline, which is incongruent with the type of development that we're trying to go through. Producer, could you turn the button red? Let's talk to this caller. Good morning, caller.
Morning, Aaron.
Morning.
This conversation about the migrants, as well as with the housing crisis that we do have in this country, a couple of things jumps out. First and foremost, I believe it is law or policy that when you come on a work permit, the person, whoever is going to use these persons on work permit, is supposed to ensure that they have proper housing. And if these persons are moving into unregulated shanty towns, if I can use that phrase, then it means something is wrong in the system. I mean, who's doing the checks and balances to ensure that these persons have proper housing? That's one. Second part is, for the persons who have become regularized Bahamian citizens, with the price of land in this country right now, or the inability to find land within a reasonable price range for them to purchase, that's also another factor that we have to look at. My third point here is that with the housing crisis, if it is possible with the surpluses that the Bahamas government claims to have, and they are able to construct reasonable, low-cost homes. And some people say there's no such thing as a low-cost home if it's over $100,000, $150,000 to construct. Then it means that we have to go right back to the drawing board and look at how we do things in this country. But we cannot continue on this in this vein, because this issue or the problems that we are addressing today we'll be addressing for the next perhaps 10, 15 years. We have to correct the problems and start succinctly somewhere to find remedies for these situations. But that's my contribution for this morning.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Let's go to the next caller quickly, and then I want to transition. I got two more stories on the board. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron.
Morning.
Good morning to Brother Nuri.
Blessings to you.
The American has issued a statement and particulars on how they are going to process visas coming into America, right? Two things jump out at me. They're not allowing Haitians to come in there on vacation or to, you know, just casual visit, right?
Right.
Yes.
You got that?
Yes.
And the main thing they said in there, that people applying here must have legal status. Patients who they're going to process here must have legal residence with legal status here. So those who don't have legal status and may have a Haitian passport still will not be dealt with by the Americans, because that's one caveat and for them to really be checking, like, okay, do you have Bahamian legal status for being in the Bahamas?
Well, I want to thank you very much for clarifying for us, right, for the audience. And that's a given. This is a well-established diplomatic process, right? This border control, immigration and border control. It's not jokey. And despite what we're seeing, This is why it's so important for state actors to make it very clear who is speaking and why they're speaking, right? That's why we have to ensure the integrity of statements coming from the office of the Prime Minister, right? So that we don't create a space of incoherence where people start repeating any old foolishness. When I was going to, Mr. Newry, when I was going to Britain to go to university, to go to boarding school, to do my A-levels, there's a lot of processing in place, right?
Yes.
When I was in Britain, I had to get, a Schengen visa to go to on a school trip to Italy. I had to show proof that I was in Britain legally, right? Like, now, mind you, because I pointed it out. Again, see, when you hear the Prime Minister say things like, because what happens if someone comes here and that visa is denied? See, that messes the whole thing up. Because you don't expect your Prime Minister to be politicking when he's supposed to be good governancing. You don't expect your Prime Minister to make statements like this that just obfuscate and confuse everything. What do you mean you don't know, Prime Minister?
He just don't know.
It's so problematic. It is so problematic. Again, don't just demand clarity from your government, but follow up. Informed contributions.
See, the Prime Minister on his foot, because we media and political personalities have talked about it, asking the Prime Minister questions without he being prepped on the conversation. I could understand and appreciate the Prime Minister responding initially. Well, this is what I think is the problem, and this is how I think the Bahamas should respond. However, when the office or the Prime Minister responds, it's a considered
It's not an on the spot post event commentary.
Yes,
but even for that, dear Prime Minister, stop.
Stop
with all this on the spot commentary. You mash up everything. Mm. You almost prejudiced the Kirk Cornish case with the statement you made outside that event on the Saturday afternoon.
It turned out well. The case turned out well.
7 minutes left. On. Producer, play the gospel music. This one, I don't want to offend any of y'all, but y'all have one about Draw Me Nearer to the Cross, right? Play that one. The R.M. Bailey gym construction, the roof collapse, it's a matter of trust, right?
Matter of trust.
Statement after statement, just say no comment.
No comment. Let me investigate it. Let me speak to the minister.
Just say this matter is too important for off-the-cuff commentary.
Yes.
I crack a joke at the U.S. Embassy event, the one I tell you about where I told the food, because I'm a Bahamian.
Hey, you get invited to the new embassy opening? Just asking, because I ain't got no invitation. Go ahead. Sorry, continue. Yeah, that's it.
I can check all my emails.
I'm trying to say it out now, just in case they miss me. Say, oh, let me invite that way.
Yeah, or send them a plus one so I could bring Mr. Newry with me.
Okay, thanks. Go ahead. Sorry for that. I just want to throw that in, since you mentioned them. Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Remind me what I was... Oh, yeah, so I was at the event, right? And we're meeting the new political officer, and I told at some point, you know, I want to teach her how to say no comment Bahamian style. Right? Mm-hmm. And I'm going to offer the same thing for the Prime Minister. Prime Minister, the next time somebody asks you a hard question, I just need you to look up to the east, slightly to the east, but to the left at the same time, right? And then say, anybody smell fritters? Do you want to make the fritters withdraw?
Yeah.
I smell that.
Yeah.
And just change the subject.
A while ago.
Yes, please. Yeah. Do that.
How are your children doing? See?
Yeah, just throw something out there. Yeah. Why not? Anything other than what's happening now? Mm. We have another text. We have a housing crisis and the government is telling landowners to build Airbnb. How brilliant is that? See, it's reached a point now. So, okay, we understand you may not necessarily care about Bahamians. I understand that. I don't even like myself most of the time. But you're not even concerned about your foreign direct investment, right? You're not even concerned about the dynamics necessary to be able to realize the $10 billion of investment that you keep claiming you have on the table in the time frame necessary to secure it. We haven't seen any substantive skills building programs. We keep talking about agencies and initiatives. Y'all keep saying you're breaking ground, but you always bring out a sandbox and you only put your shovel in the sand. It's just hard to figure out What's happening? Okay, we got 5 minutes left. Here's a text. It says, let me ask you two a question. Would this immigration problem be solved if they sent the illegal immigrants back home where they came from? Because we know they did not fall out of the sky. If the huge, massive U.S. is trying to curb their illegal immigration problem, what will happen to our little dot on the map versus 2 million Haitians trying to set up shop here? We know that visa thing is only another loophole. We only want to protect our borders and our country from other countries taking advantage. No, you don't. No, you don't. You not. Thank you, Texter, for saying it. You're not trying to protect your borders and your country from other countries taking advantage. You're not. At all. You're not contributing to education. Pinland said if you want your country, you have to fight for it. What if he meant you have to have 3 and 4 jobs? You have to be willing to do all the jobs. What if he meant that you have to be willing to do the job of teaching your child and ensuring they're excelling in school? What if it meant you had to do the job of constantly retooling and re-educating yourself? What if it meant you had to be an actual vibrant participant in your own country and its economy? Right? You don't want your country. You don't want to protect it from other people taking over. You want to be the one with the only advantage in your country, as opposed to creating a country where everyone benefits and no one has an advantage over anyone. You want to maintain a plantation. You just can't figure out why you don't have the whip in your hand. See, because you figured that allowing global north, European descent, white, corporate, right, migrants into your country would give you an upper hand, would give you an advantage, would give you a nicer life, right? You don't have a problem with migrants coming in and taking over your country, right? That's not what it is. You don't want to do any work, but you want to be the owner. You want to be in charge. You want to be the slave master. That's all. And you can't understand why people who are supposed to be lesser than you because of their circumstances are doing better than you in your own country. But it's because in their desperation, they seek out every opportunity. They take advantage of any opportunity. While you in your own country think your right is to take advantage of other people for your own benefit. That's what it is. Because you're not protecting your country from migrants. And you're only demanding that it be protected from Haitian migrants, from dark-skinned migrants, from black migrants. Because you assume that naturally, white migrants and lighter-skinned migrants will mean automatically a better life for you. That's all it is. That's all it is. So I look at this story. I said, let me try to check out this story in today's business section. Atlantis's $10 million PI school set to boost Renaissance, right? So I read this story. It's a school for Paradise, would cater to 150 students who are Paradise Island residents. $10
million. $10
million. For 150 students who are only Paradise Island residents, right? But what if they're not Bahamian citizens? Right? What if they're not Bahamian citizens? And listen, I welcome anybody who wants to build the Bahamas. I got one teacher from 10th grade who's still here. And I said, darn it, if you contributively to the lives of Bahamian students, I for that. I cool with that.
Clearly there are residents at Atlantis who say, man, we need a school. And I don't want to go across the bridge.
Yeah.
Because there are schools across the bridge, close. You know, 15, I mean, 20 minutes
away. We got an academic apartheid taking place in the Bahamas.
But hopefully some Bahamians will get access to this new school over PI. Scholarship.
I mean, hopefully there's a 75-25% rule. 75% got to be Bahamians, 25% open to... I don't know. That may seem communist or something. It sounds sensible to me, but I don't know what I'm talking about. I wanted to talk about the Jitneys. Mm-hmm. I only have 30 seconds left. I just want to say this. I did just a little research last night, Mr. Newry. Mm-hmm. I went from the 9th of March, 2016, all the way to September 5th, 2025. And in these articles, right, let me read this thing. As for jitneys, the IDB added that around 280 buses served the Bahamian people on 23 different routes, referring to two reports completed in 1992 and 1994. It added, quote, the underlying issues with the bus service sector were the emergence of destructive competition and the indiscriminate granting of franchises resulting in too many ill-equipped operators in the Bahamas, close quotes. That's 1992. I was 16 in 1992, and my only means of transportation was the jitney. I was committed to a public transportation life. Because that's how I see all the fancy white people in the U.S. living. They'd probably get on the bus, train, subway. Mm-hmm. When I went to Britain, same thing. I couldn't afford no car. I thought that I could live a comfortable life as an adult human riding jitney in the Bahamas. Turns out, no, you cannot. Mm-hmm. You cannot be a big, grown, full adult and ride jitney as your main means of transportation in the Bahamas. They shoot forward to a 2005 unification plan. 2005, Mr. Newry. Mm-hmm. Then we get to, that's all in the 2016 article. There's a mention of a whole lot of money. Anyway, I don't know if we'll have time to get to it in your hour. I'm going to pick this up over the week, but here are the headlines. Project to kickstart decade-long jitney unification efforts, March 2016. Digital Unified Public Bus System rollout set for 2023. That's December 2022. April 2024, jitney fares to increase. September 2024, bus drivers want fuel exemption. October 2024, $40 million push to tackle jitney shortcomings. 30th of July 2025, 19 years later, still no unified bus system. Somebody mentioned $530,000 for one of these projects. Mr. Newry, I was stunned. Anyway, we're all out of time. Thank you for joining me, Mr. Newry. Thank you for the calls and the texts. Listen, y'all do me a favor. Go on U.S. State Department website. Go and read the policy.
And don't leave no comments.
Oh, yeah, don't. It's okay. Rubio, disable the comments. Do me a favor. Just disable them from now. Producer, I don't know why you charming me. Y'all had them chefs on earlier this morning and they ain't leave no food for me to do. My belly ain't happy. You guys, thanks for tuning in. Remember, Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM.